Well, if you've got your Bibles, so why don't you go to Revelation 19? I'm going to have some fun tonight. I'll have enough fun for all of us, praise God. If you can enjoy God, get saved. Come on now, because you have a happy pappy. Guess what? There is no sad Holy Ghost, none. Come on now. In His presence is fullness of joy. And you know, sometimes all we need is an oil change. Come on. And God just wants to pour fresh oil all over you today. I want to talk to the next couple of nights and specifically on the theme. All week I'm trying to get to the place where we gain some momentum. Because how many of you understand you can ride momentum? It can either take you back or forward. Come on now. And one of the hardest things to do is to get momentum started when you're stopped. Amen. You know, takes more energy to do that than to actually ride the momentum one way or the other. Yes. Come on. That's right. And so one of the things God began to speak to me when I asked Him about this year was He said, I want to do it again on a different level. I mentioned that. I want to do it again, but on a different level. And then He gave me Hebrews 13:8, which is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, I remember in John that when He talks about the works I do, you shall do also. And greater works, a new level. Amen. Come on now. So I believe what God wants to do is He wants us to draw from our past to gain momentum for the future. So I want to talk about the power of the testimony. Because there's nothing, I'll guarantee you, there's nothing more powerful than your testimony. Nothing. Nothing. You know, people can argue with your doctrine. In fact, people can talk you out of doctrine. It's hard to talk someone out of experience. Come on now. You know, it's hard to argue with experience. Now, Revelation 19:10, let's look at this. We're going to have some fun. One of the reasons why, you know, again, God wants to do it again. And one of the root words for the word testimony in the Hebrew means to repeat. So literally, when you give a testimony, you set the atmosphere for God to do it again. So when you testify of your healing, then it gives God a release to do it again in someone else's life. When you testify, if you were used to be an addict and now you're free, you end up prophesying to the addict. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? In Revelation 19, verse 10, it says, and I fell at His feet to worship Him. That's talking about John on the island of Patmos. And he was actually, there was an angel that came to him. He said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours. And your brethren hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that thing went off on the inside of me. What I began to realize is every time we testify, we prophesy. That literally most people don't need to hear. They don't need a teaching. They need an example. You know? They don't want to know what God can do. They want to see evidence He has done it. Amen. Come on now. You know, it's a lot easier when you begin to see, when a drug addict hears about someone else who is freed from drugs, that testimony will prophesy to the drug addict that God will do it again. Come on. And the more we begin to testify, the more God begins to repeat it over and over and over. One of the greatest momentum builders in the world is us speaking what God has done. Because it gives Him permission to do it again. Come on now. Some of you are going to get this. Because honestly, the way you overcome the devil, we know that in Revelation 12. You overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Come on. Not loving your life, but it's the word of your testimony. There's something about a testimony that is irrefutable. Come on. That's right. Jesus showed Himself alive with irrefutable proofs. Yeah. You know, just recently, my son in school, this is last year, he just graduated, but he had to give a testimony. That was one of his assignments. And he was going, and I was wondering what he was going to say about his life, because he was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost at age 4. You know, he's a weird kid in one sense. He's never cussed, never drank any alcohol in his life. You know, he has never gone to anything but a PG movie. Didn't even go to The Passion of Christ because it was, you know, he said, "Daddy, I'm not going to an R-rated movie." He said, "You can go if you want to." And there was nothing wrong with it, but that's where his stance is. I mean, I have to loosen them up sometimes. Come on now. So I'm not too concerned about him getting wild. You know, wild for him would be, you know, I don't know, but, you know, would be like, you know, just choir boy for everybody else. But the bottom line is that, you know, so he gave his testimony. He said, you know, I was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost at age 4. He said, but my testimony began at birth. And he told about, you know, and of course I knew it more than he did. He learned it by listening to me and reading his medical report, because we got the medical report. And when my son was born, he didn't have oxygen to his brain for 45 minutes. They left him basically to die in the delivery room, because they said without the oxygen to the brain, the best he could be would be a vegetable. I was the one that ran him through St. John's Hospital screaming, "He shall live and not die, he shall live and not die." I ran into the neonatal unit and forced them to put him on the respirator. And when the doctor showed up, they told me we wanted him to die. That's a doctor. He said, because there's no chance that he's going to ever be anything but a vegetable. And I looked and I told the doctor, I said, "He's healed." And he looked at me and he said, "You don't understand medicine." I said, "You don't understand God. Come on now." And you know, and the doctor said, "Well, we have to run tests on him." I said, "Run all the tests you want." That's the only mistake I made, because it was $40,000 later that they've came to the same conclusion that God showed me by for free. Amen. And this is what my son said. He said, "You know, I should be a vegetable, but God." Amen. But God. Then he went on to say all the accomplishments. He had perfect score SAT, perfect score ACT, you know. You know, he didn't have the last one where he just won the internationals and in the international science fair. But you know, the bottom line is he began to talk about all these different accomplishments. And he says, all by the grace of God. It's all because of God. Come on. How many of us, if we could look in our life and say, you know, we should be here, but God. Yeah. Come on. Our life should be ruined, but God. I mean, some of you have had more lives than cats. Yeah. Come on now. Do you think of all the times you should have been dead? All the times, but God. Now, anything you receive from God, you become an authorized dealer of. So the church is the only place you can walk in sick and leave in the healing ministry. Come on now. In fact, the reason you can talk to people about being saved is you are saved. Whatever you have received, you can give, and you're supposed to give. Come on now. Do you know what I'm saying? And this is how God grows the church. He grows the church by us basically talking about what he's doing. What he's doing. Talk about the good things of God. Make known his deeds among the people. Come on now. See, yeah. And it's all right to tell a testimony that happened 40 years ago. It still works. Some of us think, well, you know, that happened so long ago. Well, I'm going to tell the one about my son as long as I can remember it. You know, and hopefully he's gonna tell it. But you know, they're literally a testimony is like a well on the inside of you. You build from testimony to testimony to testimony. When you're in a test, you need to draw from the past testimonies. You know, when you're facing Goliath, remember the lion, remember the bear, remember when God delivered you before. Remember when it was impossible before. Remember when you couldn't pay your bills before and all of a sudden, you know, God made a way where there was no way. You know, when you're sick, remember how he healed you before. It's the same Jesus. You know, let me show you how this works. Years ago, years and years ago, I was in high school sitting on the couch with I was cutting school And I had a bottle in my hand because I always had a bottle in my hand. You know, I was always drunk. And I'm sitting on the couch watching television, and I turn on a movie. And the scene of the movie is this guy running with a bottle in his hand. I got my bottle, he's got his bottle. We are connected. But he's running, and next thing you know, he falls flat on his face, and he starts crying out to God. God got a hold of him. It was a movie entitled A Man Named Peter. It was the story of Peter Marshall. And he became the first chaplain of the Senate, and God brought him over. And it amazed me because I could identify him with the bottle, and I began to identify throughout the movie. It was like it was prophesying just to me. I kept thinking, I want to be like that. God, I want to be like that. I didn't even know there was a God, but I want to be like that. Come on. See, it took, and he had already died when I saw the movie. But the movie was still alive. I started thinking about all the testimonies. And you know, I've been around some of the great men of God of any generation. You know, Oral Roberts, before he would lay hands on the sick, and we noticed this, that every time he was going to lay hands on the sick, and almost that's the only time he ever told the story, he would talk about how he was healed of tuberculosis. Hallelujah. The last time I heard him say that, he was 89 years old. He got healed of tuberculosis at age 17. 72 years, he told the same story. 72 years. You know, anytime he was going to pray for the sick, for 72 years, he told the same story, and it had the same result. It would change the atmosphere. Come on. It was like it was setting a place for miracles to take place. Our brother Hagin, you know, he would talk about how we only know Mark 11:22, have the faith of God, from Brother Hagin. But many times he would tell the story of where God gave him the revelation, and that was on the bed of affliction when he was 15 years old in McKinley, Texas, at such and such a time. I should know it, but yeah, but Papa Hagin would talk about that and how he read, have the faith of God, and that he could have whatever he said. That if he believed and did not doubt, spoke to the mountain, it would obey him. And that when he prayed, he didn't have to even feel anything. He could believe he received it. Hallelujah. And accept it by faith, and he shall have it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And that's how he learned faith as a Baptist boy. No one had ever talked to him about healing. Right. But he claimed his healing. He was raised up off the bed of affliction. And he would tell that story over and over. And I know thousands of people got healed listening to that story. The same Jesus. I had a friend at the time was a young mother in her early 30s with three small children, and she was bedridden with multiple sclerosis. She heard Brother Hagin's testimony about being on the bed of affliction while she was lying there on the bed with basically a death sentence over her in terms of having a normal life. And when she first heard it, she said, is that possible? And she was able to read her Bible still, so she had the Bible there and she was reading it, so that's what it says. And she kept playing it over and over and over and over again. And she began to try to move what she couldn't move. And it was a 2-year process of listening to the same thing over and over and over again. You know, she got to the point where she was able to fall out of bed. And her kids came, and her husband, they thought they were going to put her back in bed, and she screamed at them no, and she learned how to crawl, and she learned how to walk again. And she began to say, I'm going to run marathons again, because she had been a track star. All listening, see, the image was changing. See, until it changes on the inside, it never can manifest on the outside. You have to see yourself free before you're free. You have to see yourself healed while you're still sick. Come on now. You have to see yourself prosperous or nothing ever will change. Because honestly, whatever the image dictates is what it's going to become. That's why God starts prosperity on the inside and works it out. Come on. And you know, she said she was going to run again. And this last year, I saw her in January, and she had just finished her 17th Boston Marathon. Praise God. That's the power of a testimony. God did it again. Amen. And he's going to do it again and again and again and again and again. Every one of you that needs to begin to prophesy out of your own experience. Come on, out of your own experience. See, the Apostle Paul said something in Romans 16. He said, I dare not speak to you except what God has accomplished through me to the Gentiles. What he was saying is, I don't preach anything I haven't experienced. Come on. See, you know, it's too late for people to come up to me and say miracles don't happen. Amen. You know, it's too late. Because every time I come home, and I have my son run up to me. It's living proof. My son walks into the doctor's office. They still say, here comes the miracle. It's living proof. You know, how many of you understand that when Lazarus didn't have to say a word. He just had to walk in a building. Come on now. You know, he didn't have to say anything, man. Everybody knew. Everybody knew. And, you know, that's why the Pharisees hated him. Come on. And God really wants to begin to you to draw off of things you've experienced. When I think of all the things we've seen, all the people that should have been dead and that made it, all the miracles. You know, now when I pray for a lot of people that have cancer, I have stacks of cards over the years of people that had no way of surviving. I remember the first one that got healed in one of our meetings. You know, when the first one got healed, it made it easier to pray for the next one. Come on. Now I have a track record. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're in a mess, find someone that got out of the mess you're in. And listen to them. You know, that's why Dave Ramsey's so popular. Because, you know, he has the people calling up all the time. Now I'm debt free. Now I'm debt free. Now I'm debt free, you know. And they say, hey, this is working. Yes. Yes. You know, Jesus wants all these, he wants irrefutable signs to follow. Amen. Come on now. The changed lives. It's amazing what will take place. And we all of us have stories that are hidden that need to be revealed. Yes. Come on, does this make sense? See, the more you talk about what God's done, the more it makes you hungry for him to do more. Amen. You know? And if the devil will try to do anything, he'll try to get the church from testifying. Uh-huh. You know? Because you're not going to change anyone's life by not speaking. They need to hear what God's done for you. You know, just remember where you were. And realize you can prophesy the people that were where you were. Does this make sense? See, when God gives someone a testimony, something they've experienced firsthand, or a witness, something they've seen firsthand, it prophesies to the lost world and dead church that Jesus is alive. Come on. A testimony can prophesy over people. It either foretells the future or causes a change in the present. And I believe a testimony has become catalytic in their ability to bring about a change of atmosphere, making room for a supernatural release. That's why the more you talk about God meeting needs supernatural, the more he seems to do it. You know? And the devil, all he wants to do is get you to stop talking about what God's done. Yeah, that's right. He wants to talk about the things you don't understand. He wants you to talk about the things that seemingly haven't worked instead of the things that have worked. Amen. That's right. Come on now. We need to begin to realize if God has begun it, he's going to complete it. Amen. Come on. God is a good God all the time. And we overcome evil with good. Come on. See, there's something going on. The more you can't help but speak about the things you've seen and heard. You know, a witness is someone who's seen something firsthand. I asked him, I said, God, how come the church is not witnessing? He says, because they're not seeing. Because if you're seeing, you can't shut up. You know, you can't. I remember years ago, God instructed me to go into St. Louis, Missouri. And I was holding a tent meeting there. And he said, the first night I want you to train the teenagers to pray for the sick and expect miracles. And he said, when you give the altar call for healing, he told me, I don't want you laying hands on anybody. He said, I'm going to use these young people and they're going to see miracles. And I'll never forget that night. Because I gave an altar call, and it was amazing the response. I mean, a couple hundred people came forward for healing. And all these kids are laying hands on them. And this little seventh grade boy, looked like he was 10 years old, a young kid, he laid hands on his mother, who was a deaf mute. No eardrums. Had never heard in her life, had never spoken normally in her life. And he laid hands on her, and all of a sudden she began to scream. And the first word she ever heard was her son's prayers. And God created two new eardrums. You don't have to, if that doesn't get you excited, come on now. You don't know excitement. You know, I was in a service where during worship, a paraplegic got up and began to run. You know, I didn't pray for him. I couldn't take credit if I did, but I probably would try. But it's good for your ministry. But the bottom line, I had nothing to do with it. I don't have much to do with anything other than sometimes God has to have someone dumb enough to do something. But he does the hard part. But I saw this guy running around the sanctuary, and I started chasing him. The sad thing is the paraplegic was outrunning me. Finally, when I was about ready to tackle him, but I didn't want to put him back in the chair. He'd been in the chair for like 16 years. I knew the guy. And everyone, they're crying, they're screaming. You don't see that every day. I said, what happened? He said, during worship. He said, the worship leader said, lift your hands to heaven. He said, I couldn't lift my hands, but I could lift my eyes. He said, I heard these words, run, run. He said, I forgot I couldn't. He said, when I realized I couldn't, he figured I better not stop. I mean, you know, well, that sounds like God. You know, I mean, he didn't want us to mess with it, man. It was great. But when you see things like that, you know, you start believing anything's possible. Come on now. Since God's not a respecter of persons, a testimony says what God has done for me, he'll do for you. See, anytime you hear a testimony, you need that, me too, God. Me too, God. I'm in on that one. Come on. If you're doing this stuff, I'm in on it. Amen. You know, don't get upset if you've been believing for something and someone else got it. Rejoice, because yours is on. Stay in line. Stay in line. Yours is on the way, praise God. You know, the more we talk about what God's doing, the more we're going to see him do. Come on now. You know, God just wants the church. Since God is not a respected, the literally promise is transmitted by a testimony. A testimony says what God's done for others, he'll do for me. Testimonies prophesy God's intent and nature to all who hear. That's what it does. See, a prophetic generation is a generation that's full of the testimonies of what God's done. And the more you talk about what God's done, the more he does. See, this is such a momentum builder. Amen. You know, if you think about the good times, you begin to build expectancy. You know, you may have had one experience that led to another experience that led to another experience, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Come on now. And so many times we have a bad experience. You need to find someone. When my son, you know, I've had so many people over the years have heard my son's full testimony when I've given it. And they've told me, they said, you know, when we heard that testimony, it saved our kid's life. Because we remember what God did for Joey. And when we were facing the same circumstance, it gave us courage to fight. Come on now. Do you know what I'm saying? When the woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus, she pressed towards the crowd to get hers. If I just touch him, I know. If I just touch him. Some of you right now, you know, it's like you need to begin to find someone who has something that you need, who's experienced it, and draw from that. You know, a few years ago, I hired a guy to work on one of the fence that we had was breaking. And like when it comes to fixing things, I'm like Tim the Tool Man Taylor. You know, from tool time years ago. Because literally, when my wife hides tools from me. Because every time I try to fix things, it costs more to repair afterwards. And I sometimes hurt myself. Come on now. So they you know, they don't let me near a hardware store. They don't let me, it's just a disaster. So I've learned, rather than do the manly thing and be stupid, I help the economy by letting someone else use their gift. So I hired this guy. He was a retired guy from Nebraska. He was a farmer, but now he was a handyman. He came on over, and we started talking. He said, I moved in from Nebraska. I said, why are you here? He said, my wife's in the fourth stage of breast cancer. And there's a cancer treatment center in Tulsa. And I said, okay. I said, so I started talking about Jesus the healer. And he's a Baptist brother, and he started quoting other scriptures back at me. So I was happy to hear he knew about it. And he said, our Baptist church is different than most Baptist churches. I said, I figured that out after a while. But he said, our pastor, we have this thing in our church, and it's a big church. He said, our pastor has a group of people like my wife who, without a miracle, they're going to go home and be with Jesus. And he said, we have a group of people in our church that were in the same state my wife was in, who God healed. And he said, we get them together. And we literally, what do we do is we bring the people who need a miracle to hear people tell their stories of miracles. You know, and basically it fed the faith. And he said, by the way, he said, Jody Osteen's going to be at Victory on Sunday. And our pastor called us up. And she was going to give her testimony of her cancer healing. And actually, I was at Oral Roberts University when the Osteens found out about Jody having it. I remember that. And it was liver cancer, and that's a tough, nothing's tough for God, but it was a tough form of cancer. You know, you just don't beat it usually. But she's been well for 30-some-odd years now. And the bottom line is the pastor told this guy, I want you in every service you physically can sit through, because Victory had like 4 or 5 services. And he said, I want you to hear it over and over and over. And see, he understood something. What I'm telling you is whatever you need, find someone with a testimony. It will help you. God wants to do it again. I have a friend, this crazy guy. It's hard to believe I have any crazy friends, but I do. And he's a one-legged preacher because he lost a leg. Come on, it's not funny, but with him it is. You know, you got to understand something. I'm not making fun of him, but it's bad. You know, when the Holy Ghost hits me, I start laughing. I said, God, last time we were talking about sin, and we did the same thing happened. But that's not good. That's not. It's not a laughing matter unless God comes on you. But anyway, this guy's a wild man. He's believing God to grow a leg out. And I've always wanted to see that. I've always, honestly, I've had legs grow that existed. I've had organs replaced. I've had God replace a kidney. I've had God in services. We've had situations where it's just been medically documented. But I have never seen an amputee walk out of a place. I've never seen an arm where there was no arm. I've never seen, and I know God can. Well, my friend, when he preaches in front of his pulpit, you know, he's got, you know, basically he has the one leg, walks on crutches, but he has a shoe in front of the pulpit because he believes he's going to need it, you know? And I thought, well, that's the coolest thing because, like I said, it's been something I've seen in my spirit, but I've never experienced. And I thought, God, I've never even heard of it. And then Billy Graham, I read a book by Billy Graham from Azusa Street. And one of the things was when Brother Seymour used to put the box over his head. God told him, put a box over your head. And when they tell you to take it off, then miracles will happen. In fact, he did that for a year and a half. Miracles are several years. And miracles would happen. When he stopped putting the box on his head, the revival stopped. So, you know, but one day he was, you know, there was witnesses giving the eyewitnesses account. And they said, one day, Brother Seymour took the box off his head. There was a man with a wooden leg. And he looked over at him. He said, Brother, you believe God can grow a leg? He said, yes. He said, then why do you have the wooden one on? Take it off. And they said that when he took off the leg, as soon as he took it off, another leg grew out instantaneously. Not the, just the leg, but the feet, the toenails, and everything. And I started reading that, and I circled it, and I bought an extra book and sent a copy to my friends that read that over and over, and previews of coming attractions. Come on now. Some of you, honestly, God wants to, he wants to give you, you need, you know, it's easy. Sometimes you're going to be the first, but find out if it's ever been done before. Because then there's a legal precedent for it. Amen. Come on. And since God's no respecter of persons, Amen. Come on. Some of you are going to get this. Amen. You know, if that doesn't excite you, get some faith. But hallelujah. See, freely you receive, freely give. Our capacity to remember what God has said and done in our lives and throughout history, the testimony is one of the primary things that determines our success or failure in sustaining a kingdom lifestyle of power and miracles. Think about it. You know, the more we talk about the things, you know, there are things in Scripture where God said, you know, when Joshua, when he rolled back the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 4, what did God instruct them as soon as they got over the other side? Put 12 memorial stones there. I don't want this story to be forgotten. So that when your kids ask you what do those stones represent, you tell them. You tell them the story. You tell them. Don't let this story be lost. And one of my greatest concerns with the church is we're letting our stories be lost. Come on now. And there's a danger in that. You know? Let's go to Psalm 78. Is this okay today? It better be. It's what I got. You know? You know, I'm really not asking for your permission. I've learned a long time ago, you know. You have to say what God says no matter what. But Psalm 78, verse 4, I love this stuff. I don't know about, you know, since God's been showing me this, I have spent almost every day meditating on all the things I've seen. I've seen some stuff, man. You've seen some stuff, David. I know it. I mean, you talk about, you know, just listening, you just got me excited when you came, 120 kids. And you've seen, you know, how many you have right now? 400 or something? That's God. You know? And all the kids have gone through over the years that you guys have touched. All the stories. If you can't believe God when you see some of these stories, come on. Hallelujah. Some of you just need to remember your own story. make you thankful. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will not conceal them from their children, but tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he's done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. God wants to establish a testimony in every one of us. Come on now. He wants to establish a testimony in Woody, a testimony in David, a testimony in Gordon, a testimony in every one of you here. Come on. It says he established a testimony and appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. And God's saying this: there are stories that should never, ever be lost. Amen. Never. Your children should know your stories with God as much as you do. And if they don't, you didn't do your job. They should know all the times God came through.
Amen.
We were facing something a while back, and of course my son's old enough to be in on stuff now. And we were praying about something, and it was funny because he brought it up. He said, Daddy, it's like when God did this for you. He wasn't born when that happened. But he knew the story as well as I did. It has been passed down. And the neat thing is, you know, now he has his own stories. See, you lose the supernatural when you don't talk about it. When your kids don't know about the supernatural, they lose the supernatural. One of my greatest concerns is that this generation has lost the supernatural. It has lost it because we have not passed down supernatural legacy. Come on now. Am I helping someone yet? It says that they should put their confidence in God. That's why you tell them the stories. They build confidence. They don't want to just know doctrine and teaching. They want to know that it worked. Come on. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that did not prepare its heart, whose spirit was not faithful to God. I've always said verse 9 seems to be where the church is. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. I said, God, if that's not the American church, we know more Bible than any time in history.
Sure.
You know, you go on cable TV and you'll see all sorts of Bible stuff going on. I just recently was on it myself. Yeah, they'll put anybody on. You know, I was at TCT and you know, basically it's something that's in 100 million homes around the world. That doesn't mean 100 million people watch it, but that's the potential. And, it's freaky to be able to just be in one hour taping, have that type of potential. But the bottom line is we're so full. We are almost, basically, we've become numb to gospel stuff. Half the gospel stuff to me is so weird anyway. It is. And he said, they turned back. I said, God, why do we have the most equipped people, yet they're not willing to fight? And he said, they did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his deeds and his miracles. That's why they turned back. They didn't remember the miracles. See, if you don't remember the miracles, you will not go on to the next miracle. You won't. If you don't remember it, you'll rather die in the wilderness than face a giant. If you don't remember how God brought you out, you won't allow him to bring you in. Come on. The more you remember, the more you gain momentum. And what I want us to do is stir us to remembrance. And I don't want us to live back in the past, but I want us to draw from the past. Come on. I didn't used to be in the studying past revivals. I am now. Because, God, if you have changed entire communities in the past, you can do it now. Come on. If when Finney came to town, he could shut down this sinful establishments just by the presence he carried, he can still do it today. If Peter's shadow can heal the sick, I should be able to walk in and see some action with that. Come on. The things that he did, I shall be doing also. See, we should never look at anything Jesus did as though it was just Jesus. We should look at it and say, I can do that. Just need your word. Amen. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, first thing he thought about was, I didn't know I could walk on the water. Because he did everything else Jesus did. Jesus healed the sick, sent Peter out to heal the sick. Jesus raised the dead, sent Peter out to raise the dead. Jesus preached, Peter preached. So when he sees Jesus walking on the water in the midst of a storm, it wasn't even a calm sea. I can understand taking a chance in a calm sea. You know, but man, he sees Jesus walking on the water, and what did Peter do? He basically forced the issue. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. What was Jesus going to say? It ain't me. He was forcing him. Well, you know, and Jesus loved it. See, Peter knew he couldn't walk on the water unless he had the word. But once you have the word, you walk on the word. Come on now. And the word is supernatural, which supersedes the natural. Come on. And God has many words he wants us to walk out on. Come on. He wants us to step on, because he wants to show himself strong. Come on. Some of you right now, I mean, the more you see, the more you'll do, praise God. Does this make sense to you? I begin to realize everything's based on that. Our inheritance is based on what Jesus has already given us. And God begins to open our eyes and we begin to realize it's mine. I want that, God. Every time I hear a testimony, especially, God, I'd like to do that. I don't want to just sit on the sidelines. I don't want to exist. I want to live. Amen. You know? And you know, some people, you know, they get to a certain age, they retire instead of refire. But you know, the more I hear, the more I want to do. I said, God, use me to change the world. Why not? You know, God, there's so much more I want to experience. And I want to be used to bless others' lives. Does this make sense to you? See, how many of you understand that God wants to lead us into things? The church has all the riches of heaven sitting in the bank account. But it's by faith we access what we need from heaven's account to change the earth. By faith. You know, and when people hear about things, it opens up the door. I love when I get around people and they say, whoa. I love it when it's way out there. So, wow. Especially when I know the credibility of some of the people. I mean, I've been around people that have, you know, raised hundreds of people from the dead. You know, we've had one or two where they thought they were dead. I'm going to say they were because I won't say I did it, but... Yeah, one of them was a doctor's mama. But the bottom line is, I just love watching God be God. See, the more you begin to recall, you know, what I found out is it builds confidence for you to want to try new things. Remember the first time. First time you ever been used by God. Maybe if you've never been used in the gifts of the Spirit. First time. Remember the first time if you've ever been used to lead someone to the Lord. There's always a first time. Come on. The first time, you know, when you prayed for someone and they actually got healed. See, God wants to lead us into a lot of first things. Because first just means this is ongoing. It's ongoing. You've entered into a new land now. You're entering into a new land. Now what starts as an experience becomes a lifestyle. Then it's almost like the norm. All of a sudden, you just expect God to be God. And it's no longer reading the pages off the book. God showed up. Does this make sense? Then all of a sudden, our Father, His will's being done on earth as it is in heaven. See, I don't want to be like I don't want to be like the prodigal son who wasted his inheritance. And I don't want to be like the older brother who didn't claim his inheritance. I want, you know, but the good thing about the younger brother is God had more for him.
Yes.
Even after he wasted it, he gave him more. You know, we may have wasted a lot of years, and God's going to give you more. He's going to give you another chance to be fruitful.
Amen.
Come on. And then you've received mercy, you can show mercy.
Amen.
The good news is whatever you receive, you can give.
Yes.
And God wants you to receive more so you can give more.
Hallelujah.
Many of you, honestly, you're the answer to someone else's problem because of what God did for you.
Amen.
Come on, you're walking in here saying, I'm living proof. Many times I'll go to prisons. I don't tell half of what I did. I can't tell what I did in church. Or I won't. You know? But I'll go to prisons. And a lot of times when you first go to prison and people hear you talk, they're like, hey, little preacher boy. Raised in the choir. Probably doesn't understand anything about us. And what I'll do when I go there is I won't even give experiences. I give names. And I name a couple of names. And I'll guarantee the moment I name them, anyone that's attached to the underground shuts up and shows respect. I just added credibility. Come on. You know, there's something about a walking miracle. There's some, and many of you in your lives, you got credibility in something.
Yes.
Come on. God got you out. God fixed something. God, you know, hallelujah. Many of you know why Joyce Meyer has some of the largest crowds out of anyone in the world, her ministry. And I know her family, by the way. Is that literally, and I know that the half of what she tells hasn't been told. You know, half of what she shares. But she was sexually abused from the time she was 4 until the time she was over 18 years old. And she'll share. She'll share the bitterness, she'll share the feeling, she'll share the being the victim, she'll share all that stuff. But then she doesn't leave it there. She shares the process of how God got her out of there. And there's so many people that listen to her that are wondering, how do I get out of the prison? How do I get out of it? I've been abused. I don't know how to be free. And when they listen to her, it's like that she's prophesying to a whole generation of victims on how to be victorious. Come on. And it draws people. There are a lot of good teachers, but the ones that connect. Every one of us has something that we can connect to people. Don't waste your experiences. All your messes should be turned into messages. You know, most of the things that most people want to hear about is your mess ups. You know, some preachers, all they ever share about is their successes. And a person out sitting in the congregation said, that's cool, but you're not telling me how you got. Number one, did you ever mess up? And how'd you get to where you are today? I want to know the process. I want to know what steps I can take. I remember sitting on my sofa, listening to Brother Copeland one time. And it was one of the times he was sharing about when him and Gloria were in so much debt. You know? And I love that. I like that even more than when he would talk about all the successes. I already knew the success part. It's obvious he was successful. But when he's talking about where, you know, they were in and out of the head, and he started talking about how they began to sow seeds and believe God. And my wife and I, we were tithing. But we weren't doing a whole lot by faith. When I started listening to what he was saying, I thought, I could do that. I was looking for something I could do. I said, I can see myself. We can do that, fam. And my wife called at the same time. We just got an agreement. And we just started doing what he said he did to get where he got to. And, you know, it wasn't overnight. But all of a sudden, we found ourselves debt-free. I mean, there was no way we ever would be debt-free. No way. I mean, it probably would have been maybe now in my life. But that happened like 20 years ago. And it was like a 5-year process that probably saved me 15 years. Come on. Because someone was talking and prophesying to where I was. And many of you, you got some answers. Share them. You know, it makes you feel good anyway. Come on. So, you know, begin to talk about your experiences with God. Begin to talk about things you've seen. Begin to share the things. I found out people don't, they don't get tired of miracles. They don't. Not living proof. Does this make sense? See, the more we talk, the more God does. See, part of our inheritance is the supernatural power of God. It's the works of God. We were foreordained from the foundation of the world to walk in. Every one of you have been ordained for good works. You got a good work that God wants to do through your life. Some of you, you don't know how supernatural some of the things you do are. When you see good mothers, it's supernatural. Come on. When you see, I mean, there are people that they're almost my heroes. And they probably look at themselves as common people. There's nothing common in what they're doing. They're laying down their life every day. You know, special needs kids that, you know, people lay down there, they have to go the extra mile over and over and over again. They're heroes. You know what I'm saying? Be a hero. And where God's helped you, you help others. A lot of times when I'm in grocery stores, one of the things I do is I buy groceries for people. I just do it. And I don't just do it for church people. There are times I'll just be... It's weird because I remember when we used to be standing in line in the grocery store, and one of my greatest fears was when that bill would be come up, because I didn't have any credit cards. I didn't have any credit. So if the number was wrong, I'd have to take the stuff back. It was so embarrassing. And I'd see the same look on certain people's faces. And you know, I don't know how many times, but it's a fairly regular thing now at the grocery store. I'll just see someone and they'll have this look on their face of, can I even afford to do what I'm doing? And you know, most of them aren't doing anything extreme. And I'll just give a little nod, which basically means it's on my tab. They know that. And you know, why? Because that's what God did for me. See, try to make happen for others what you have. If you've experienced the glory of God, try to bring others into the glory of God. Whatever you've experienced, you know, you're carrying something. You never lose that. You just sometimes have to stir it up. You need to draw it out. See, the more we begin to operate in that, I believe we're coming into a season of supernatural flow. I believe nothing's impossible. I believe God's testimony are part of our inheritance. I believe God wants us to tap into other people's labors too. Draw off of what God did through others. Say, me too, God. You know what Jesus said? He said, we're coming to a time frame where you're going to actually enter into other people's labors. They paid the price. You know, a lot of things I operate in today, you know, Oral Roberts is like my spiritual father in many ways. You know, we were around the Roberts family for years because my wife wrote for Oral. You know, when I was in college, I spent a 30-minute walk with Oral Roberts. It changed my life forever. Just changed it. As he shared the secrets of ministry. But the one thing I'm so thankful for is Oral made what today is pretty normal. He paid a price for it to become normal. To bring healing into the mainstream. To bring God as a good God. That God didn't want his people poor. To actually bring higher education and realize that charismatic Christians can have a brain. Yeah. Come on now. Amen. You know, all that stuff. And don't tell me he didn't suffer for it. He did. Brother Hagin, you know, I mean, you know, the faith thing. Now you can go into most places, and I can preach a lot of what's preached in Word of Faith in most churches, and the only the fringe element of the Word of Faith will they reject. Most of the other stuff has become mainstream. You think about people who brought worship in to the church, where it all used to be just hymns. Come on now. And now people, you can go to the Baptist church. You know, you go. My niece goes to Liberty University. And, you know, they go to their college thing. And their college thing, they're dancing before the Lord. They have their hands up. I mean, you know, you would think you were in some wild, charismatic Pentecostal church. You would think, well, you know, and it's like, whoa! And, it, you know, and they're Baptist. You know, full of fire. Now, some of their preaching is not the same as ours. But their worship, why? It's become someone paid the price. And literally, if you're going to change this area, someone has to pay a price. Someone has to take a stand. Someone has to take some heat. Someone has to do what's right because it's right. Come on now. Someone has to set a standard. You know, and it's going to take courage to do it. But it's time the church gets a backbone and stands up and not be ashamed. Right. When you think about who God is raising up in these days. You know, I'm a big sports fan, huge sports fan. Having played pro ball, not that well, but having played it. You know, I'm a huge sports fan. And you know, what I love about this year, it's the people God's raised up. The Tim Tebows. Who honestly, if you look at his natural ability, there ain't much. Not for a pro ball player. Sorry. You know, it's an all God thing. Trust me. It's an all God thing with him. He knows it too. But the bottom line is he has had more coverage than any other athlete this year. I mean, either people love him, they hate him, but they know Jesus is his Lord. They know that.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah, God has used that. There's a guy named Jeremy Lin who's a guard for the New York Knicks, who was a reserve guy for a while. And he broke in and set all sorts of records. Strong Christian. So I play for Jesus. It's on, you know, on his thing, on his wristband. And he just, and him and Tim Tebow are really good friends. And, you know, that's all for about 3 or 4 weeks, he was getting all the press. Just recently, Bubba Watson in golf. Well, Bubba, I love Bubba for a golfer. Bubba. Yeah, that's a great golf name. But the bottom line is Bubba's a strong Christian. God's raising people up. He's raising. He's the judge. He puts down some. He raises up others. He wants the righteous to rule.
Amen.
He wants us to reign. He wants us to take this nation and influence the nations of the world. He wants this gospel of the kingdom to be preached in all the world for a witness. He wants other people to experience what we've experienced. He wants us to become contagious. Come on. And so many of us, you need to begin to think about what you do have, not what you don't have. Because so many of us are depressed because we have not counted the blessings. All the stuff that we're concerned about don't matter one bit of beans. You know? Saddest thing in the world is get around highly successful people that are going to go to hell. You know? And here we are, we can spend our entire life blessing people. And I said, God, I just need more of you so I can give more of you. Because as I receive, I can give. If I haven't received much, I can't give much. I want more and more and more and more in every area of life. Whatever you have, God, I want it. How many of you can say that? Whatever you have, God, I want to begin to do that divine recall thing. I believe, God, that as we build on from the past, we can gain momentum for the future. In fact, I honestly believe if we don't remember the past, we will never get into our future. Because God's going to use the old and the new, the former and the latter rain together. He's going to use both. So we're going to have to draw from the past and embrace the future and allow the momentum to take us in to the new realm of glory that God wants to bring out. Does this make sense? Some of the old foundations of this nation need to be restored. We don't need to be archaic. We don't need to be backwards, but we do need to be moral. We do need to be godly. Come on now. We do, and there are certain things that are right and are not subject to change. Come on now. Does this make sense? And as we begin to build on that, many times studying with our founding fathers, we change everything. Just recently, and I'm going to close in a second because some of you have a vision of that. Recently, you know, a few months ago, Harvard tried to, you know, get my son to sign over with them. So they sent some people out to interview him for, and he was supposed to be a 2-hour interview. He called me 15 minutes into it, said, "Daddy, pick me up. It's over." I said, "What happened, son?" He said, "Daddy," he said, "for the first 15 minutes, they grilled me on my belief system." And he's fine. He said, "I told him," he said, I read the Bible every day, not 24 hours a day. I am a Christian. But he said, "I've got a brain. I'm highly capable of studying, you know, at your level." And he said, they just kept grilling me on it. He finally looked at him and he said, "You know, your university was built on Christianity. It was a Christian-based university." He said, "Your founding fathers would have loved me." And he said, "If you don't like me, then they wouldn't have liked you either. They wouldn't have let you into your dumb school anyway." And he said, "Just from your questioning, it's obviously I'm not a fit for you, and you're not a fit for heaven. I'm out of here." That was it. He said, "Daddy, I don't have to put up with that. I don't have to."
Yeah, that's right.
You know, why should we be ashamed of who we are?
That's right.
You know, why should we let some pompous, educated fools? You know, had the guy came in and just talked education, my son wouldn't have reacted that way.
Yeah, that's right.
But when someone is trying to push something down your throat, see, once you've experienced something, you don't back away from
it.
Come on. When you've experienced God, you're not ashamed of God.
Right.
Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. I don't care what the world says. I don't care. I'm not going to fit into their mold. Hallelujah. They're not going to change me, but I will change them, or at least some of them, praise God. Amen. I'll irritate the others because that's just who we are. Come on. And I'm going to have fun at it, praise God. It is time that we begin to not back away from our heritage. Come on. Draw from it. Draw from it. Draw from it. Study the miracles of the Bible and realize God's going to make a way where there is no way again. Come on now. God's going to continue to heal because that's who He is. He's the healer. You know, in order for healing to stop, God must be dead because He's still the Lord that healeth us. That's who He is. Come on now. For Him to stop providing, then He had to die because He's the Lord our provider. Everything that He is, every name of God is not, it's who He is. It's not just what He does. And God just wants us to enter into who He is. He's actually allowed us to be part of the family business. Come on now. You know? That's what He said. He said, "Hey, I'm giving you a family business. I'm giving you the kingdom. And I'm going to send you a helper because you need some help." And the helper will give you inspired ideas on how to further this thing. Come on now. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost so that you have a revelation of the Father. And He said, "I got all sorts of experiences for you. Faith adventures. When you look back, you'll have stories upon stories upon stories upon stories." I just love getting around people. You know, one of my greatest fun was listening to Brother Summerall talk. I didn't want him to teach. You know, I could buy his books. I just want to tell story upon story. I want to talk to him and talk about when he was with Smith Wigglesworth. You know, recently I've been talking more, and I'm going to write a book on my 30-minute walk with Oral, and I'm talking more about what we experienced being around Oral Roberts. Because I don't want the next generation to miss the accomplishments, what God did through a very unusual man. It'll be sad if we have to go back. The problem is, when you don't remember the past, you almost have to start from the past to move forward.
That's right.
See, when you tell your testimonies and your stories, your ceiling can become the next generation's floor. They don't have to reinvent it. They can actually get where you got many times through struggle. They can get just through an impartation. Where they don't have to. They'll have the struggles of their own. But their struggles of their own will be stories they can tell their kids. So their kids won't have to go through their struggle. Those struggles, they'll have their own struggles. Because in the world you shall have tribulation. You know, I'm not saying there won't be trials. I'm saying, why should we have to repeat the same trial generation after generation after generation? Why not? One of my greatest desires is my kid would never experience some of the things I experienced. Up to this point, he hasn't. That's probably my greatest success. Not all his accomplishments, but the fact that he really has never tasted what I tasted of. He didn't have to get freed up. I'm so grateful for that. And I pray that from generation to generation, that will be the case. If not, we'll fight to make it the case. Amen.